From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Hey, it is Thursday, July 9th, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for each and every one of you listeners out there. We'll be diving into, of course, the Alvin Ellis situation. It has him in pretty hot water. If you haven't heard about it, you will in just a sec. Also, Jason Pierre-Paul in the news coming out that he will actually lose a finger due to that fireworks injury that he suffered on July 4th this past weekend. Riveting stuff. Also, we'll give you a sneak peek into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with the Michigan State head wrestling coach, Tom Minkle. Again, we had him on the show last week, and he was my guest on the TV show this week. You do not want to miss that, folks, as well as Throwback Thursday, DeAndre Jordan deciding to return to the LA Clippers, all of that and so much more, as well as we'll take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in on anything that we discussed on today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm excited about today's show, folks, and I hope you are too. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this July 9th. According to online records from the 54B District Court in East Lansing, Michigan State men's basketball player Alvin Ellis III was charged with a misdemeanor count of underage purchase, consumption, or possession of alcohol stemming from a May 2nd incident. Now, that charge was dismissed, and he admitted responsibility to a public littering charge, which resulted in fines of $615. Now, court records also show that Ellis was charged with a misdemeanor count of underage purchase, consumption, or possession of alcohol stemming from a June 19th incident in which he pled not guilty. Oakland University's men's basketball team, they announced a three-year deal with Georgia, the first game being in Athens on December 1st, and more important for OU, a visit to the O Arena in the 2016-17 season. Now, the series will conclude the following year in Athens. Pretty cool partnership there. All right, third baseman Nick Castellanos hit a go-ahead sacrifice fly in the seventh inning as the Detroit Tigers held off the Seattle Mariners 5-4 on Wednesday afternoon to close out a series win at Safeco Field. The Tigers have won a series, folks. It's a miracle. All right, the Tigers took a 3-0 lead in the second inning on an RBI single by Castellanos, followed by an RBI double from first baseman Jeffrey Mart, his first major league hit in his first career start, and shortstop Jose Iglesias. Now, Mart followed that with his first home run two innings later to give Detroit a 4-2 lead. The Tigers are seven games in back of the Kansas City Royals, who are currently on a four-game winning streak. All right, Joel Anthony is returning to the Detroit Pistons. The 6'9" center, who provided a strong veteran presence in the locker room last year, has agreed to a two-year, $5 million deal, according to a person with firsthand knowledge of the situation. Now, the second year of the contract is not guaranteed. The person requested anonymity because teams aren't allowed to comment during the NBA free agency moratorium, which ends today. All right, the San Antonio Spurs, as a part of their ongoing roster restructuring, have struck a deal to acquire Sacramento Kings point guard and former U of D standout Ray McCollum, according to league sources. Now, sources told ESPN.com that the Spurs, as early as Friday, will swap a future second-round pick for McCollum, whom San Antonio pegs as a replacement for the outgoing Corey Joseph. All right, DeAndre Jordan has told the LA Clippers that he wants to walk away from his new deal with the Dallas Mavericks to stay in Hollywood. Now, sources say that Jordan, in a Wednesday meeting at his Houston home with several Los Angeles teammates and top team officials, left the Clippers with the clear message that he intends to renege on Friday's commitment to sign a four-year $80-plus million max deal with the Dallas Mavericks and re-sign a lucrative deal with the Los Angeles Clippers instead. All right, Calvin Megaton Johnson, the Detroit Lions wide receiver entering his ninth NFL year, ranks number 6 going into the fall, the highest wide receiver on the board. Now, Johnson ranked number 2 last year, so it's a drop of 4 spots. But hey, that's not too bad considering he had a kind of a down season last year, catching 71 passes for 1,077 yards and 8 TDs, his least productive year since 2009. His team, though, went 11-5 and clinched a postseason berth. And last but not least, New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul had his right index finger amputated on Wednesday. Sources told that to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Now, medical records show the procedure took place on Wednesday afternoon. One source characterized the timeline for Pierre-Paul's return as being sooner than people think and said he still is expected to play this year. Now, Pierre-Paul discussed his options with his team, medical team, and family members, according to a source, and decided that amputation was the best decision for his health and his career going forward. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those and so much more, call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there, and I'll read it live here on the show, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show. Welcome, 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 ladies and gents. It is Thursday. Wow. The week is just flying by. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have a boatload to talk about, okay? Of course, each and every Thursday here on the show, we love to give you a sneak peek into the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. And, of course, I will be chatting with longtime MSU head wrestling coach Tom Minkle. Oh, boy, it was a fantastic time sitting down with Tom and just picking his brain. And again, folks, if you haven't heard, I mean, Tom will be retiring after his 25th season, which will be this upcoming year. So he's going to coach this upcoming year and then hang it up and call it a retirement. And he has some pretty cool retirement plans. He is actually going to try and pursue his longtime dream of becoming a professional poker player. Can you believe that? Unbelievable stuff, folks. He's actually been playing poker for quite some time. And really, you know, after he retires, he's going to really try and pursue it and make that dream a reality. I tell you what, he's such an interesting individual. He actually brought his entire family out yesterday. Got a chance to meet his lovely wife, his granddaughter, and his grandson as well. It was fantastic. Fantastic sitting down. So you don't want to miss that again. That's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You do not want to miss that, folks, as well as we'll engage in a bit of a chatter concerning the Moneyball Summer League that's taking place at Aim High Sports Arena in Diamonddale, Michigan, each and every Tuesday and Thursday. So, yeah, it's Thursday today. They'll embark on their second week of play. And it's pretty cool stuff because you get to see current Michigan State men's basketball players, also players from Oakland University, former NBA players. They all compete in a Summer League tournament that's unlike any other. And the best part of it is that it's free. That's right. You don't have to pay a dime. You just walk in, you know, find a seat and enjoy basketball games the entire day. Fantastic stuff. It actually starts at 6:30 today. Second game starts at 7:30 and the third game at 8:30. So you get to actually see footage from the Moneyball Summer League on tonight's show. We'll also talk about Brandon Dawson, who has been just tearing it up with the LA Clippers Summer League team. How about BJ, man? I tell you what, if he continues to play like this, it's going to be hard, very, very hard for the LA Clippers not to find a roster spot for him this upcoming NBA year. And also, we'll talk Michigan football, as they have struck a new deal with Nike that looks to be the biggest in collegiate sports history. All of that and so much more tonight at 10 p.m. on Current Sports TV. Before we roll this train alone, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer here on WKAR's Current Sports, my man Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Just started my second job today, so worked
your second job. Hold on, I didn't know you had two jobs, brother. Hold on, so you're doing this? You're a student, and you got two jobs other than this one?
No. My second job, including this one.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's doable. You know, 8 to 12. Woke up the earliest I have probably in about 3 months. You know,
right?
So that was rough, but. No, it'll be nice to get some money. And, yeah, but also I wanted to talk about the Spurs just really briefly.
Yeah, go ahead.
You talked about them acquiring Ray McCallum, who I think is an excellent player. Coming out of high school, he had offers from Kansas as well as other big schools, turned them down to play with his dad, who was coaching at the college he attended. So Ray McCallum, absolutely fantastic player, was great for the Kings. That's a great pickup for them. And Tim Duncan, 15 minutes ago, just signed 2 years, $5 million.
Really? Two years and $5 million. Okay.
Yeah. They can't be beat. I don't see how this team doesn't advance at least to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know how stiff the competition is in the West. And we're going to actually get to the conversation concerning DeAndre Jordan, because I found that just unbelievably interesting, watching how that whole thing transpired. I mean, it looked as though the day before yesterday that he had agreed upon a deal, a max deal. I mean, you're talking $80 million to sign with the Dallas Mavericks. Then all of a sudden, his teammates say, hold on, we're going to make a trip to DeAndre Jordan's house. They all powwow with him. I guess they talk him out of it. And it's being, you know, reported that he will re-sign a deal with the LA Clippers. So that's very interesting stuff. Also seeing here, literally, as you were just speaking, Isaac, I see here on my phone that LeBron James is to sign a 2-year deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers with a second-year player option. So interesting stuff. I think that's no surprise there that LeBron was going to return with the Cavs. He already voiced that as soon as he opted out of his current contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So no surprise really there. But yeah, and you know, Ray McCallum, interesting story for you, Isaac. I actually went to school here at Michigan State University with Ray's sister, Brittany. So me and Brittany were pretty tight, man. One of my great friends. She actually wanted to go into sports broadcasting as well. We're both studying here at Michigan State University. And she was really, really good at it. But of course, she put her career in the sports broadcasting industry on hold once, of course, her big bro signed a pretty big deal with the Sacramento Kings. So now, I mean, I follow her on Instagram. I talk to her from time to time, and she absolutely just loves it out in California. But now she's going to be making that move down to Texas with San Antonio. So pretty cool stuff, though. Shout out to
Brittany. And Ray went to Detroit, of course, for
exactly.
College,
UAD. So. Yeah, and played for his dad, as you said. He was a very, very good player.
Excellent.
At UAD. So congrats to Ray, though. I'm really looking forward to seeing him, be a contributor on that San Antonio Spurs squad. I want to start today's show on another down note. We started yesterday's show on an unfortunate note, and we have to do that today, Isaac, because another Michigan State men's basketball player finds himself in hot water. Now, we had talked about how Aaron Harris the other day was suspended indefinitely from the team for his OWI incident. Just hours, literally hours, after playing in the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League. This occurred last week, Tuesday night. Aaron Harris, he balls out of control for the Summer League, and then he says, hey, let's go out and celebrate, I guess. He goes out, I don't know, maybe to a bar or something like that, gets behind the wheel, and gets pulled over and gets caught operating while intoxicated. So he's in hot water. Tom Izzo said, okay, yeah, we're going to let this thing play out in the legal system, and you are suspended indefinitely from all team activities. But I tell you what, Tom Izzo is having a bad week, Isaac, because as we stated in our quick hit headliners, if you didn't get a chance to listen to those, Michigan State basketball head coach Tom Izzo said he is disappointed in guard Alvin Ellis III after he was charged with alcohol-related offenses this offseason. Now, just to dive into the report really briefly here, Isaac, before we voice our thoughts on this story. According to online records from the 54B District Court in East Lansing, the 20-year-old Ellis was charged with a misdemeanor count of underage purchase, consumption, or possession of alcohol stemming from a May 2nd incident. That charge was dismissed, and he admitted responsibility to a public littering charge, which resulted in fines of up to $615. Court records also show, it didn't stop there, Isaac, that Ellis was charged with a misdemeanor count of underage purchase, consumption, or possession of alcohol stemming from a June 19th incident in which he pleaded not guilty. Interesting quote from Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo had this to say, quote, "Being a student athlete at Michigan State University is a privilege, but it also means having increased expectations and responsibilities that don't exist for all students. Alvin Ellis did not embrace those responsibilities, and as a result, there are consequences. We are disappointed in Alvin's actions and will manage the matter appropriately." Isaac, this is now the second Michigan State men's basketball player this week alone to have a story come out about some off-the-court issue that could have easily been alluded. What are your reactions?
Al, I'm disappointed in the player first off, because this is something that Tom Izzo has no control over. First off, this is the off season, so these players really are not under Tom Izzo's watch. But Tom Izzo has to be so flabbergasted and just disgusted by the conduct of his players in this past week, because when, of course, some of Ellis's incidents were before that. But the thing is, Tom Izzo is famous for breeding good players on and off the court. Tom Izzo, you look at his record, Adrian Payne in recent times, Draymond Green. So all of those players were very involved in the community service. This is not Tom Izzo's reputation, but Tom Izzo's reputation is affected by this, because it does reflect negatively upon him, even if he has nothing to do with it.
Well, I have to take the opposite argument with you on that, Isaac. I don't think that this negatively affects Tom Izzo as far as his overall reputation or aura is concerned. When people still think of Tom Izzo, when they think of a guy who is a blue-collar guy who knows the game of basketball and who breeds men at the end of the day, it's college, first off. I want to start this conversation by saying it's college. Students do stupid things. But as an athlete, and I go back to the same point I had yesterday, as an athlete at a Division I institution, especially when you play football or basketball at Michigan State University, ideally you have to conduct yourself like a professional athlete, because if you get in trouble, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be headline news. It's going to lead current sports. It's going to be on ESPN. Everyone is going to talk about it. So, and I just think that when a young recruit comes to Michigan State to play basketball for Tom Izzo or football for Coach D'Antonio, I don't think that student athlete really understands the spotlight that becomes on them. Because, again, yeah, in high school you have a little bit of spotlight. When you're the best athlete in your school and you're getting recruited left and right, yeah, that comes with a certain spotlight as well. But I don't understand. I don't think that student athletes understand that when they come to a program like that, just how slippery the slope is when you do something that you're not supposed to do. You're not just a student here. You're not like how you and I, or how you are currently right now, Isaac, or how I was back in college, where if I was to, you know, do something stupid, you know, get arrested for an OWI, my name is not in the paper. You know what I mean? I have to deal with that. That's a personal thing that I have to deal with. I'm not a part of a Tom Izzo squad where it you know, where I'm being plastered everywhere in the media and being talked about everywhere, and where this could jeopardize my scholarship here at the university as well. So I think that, you know, and this goes back to our caller Apache, who calls in all the time, and he had a great point concerning the type of mentorship that these kids get when they come to a university like Michigan State to be an athlete. I honestly think that, and you're starting to see this everywhere now. I mean, we talked about DeAndre Johnson earlier this week getting caught on film at a bar. He gets into it with a young woman, you know, and she does throw the first punch, But he retaliates and just cold cocks her. He gets arrested, and now he's suspended indefinitely from the Florida State University football program. I just think that these incidents are becoming much, much more common, more and more common by the year, that I think that respective universities have to have programs for these individuals to understand just how to conduct themselves when they are away from the playing field.
Al, but you don't think that this, somebody sees this in the news, maybe a Michigan fan or something like that, and they say, oh, you look at that, look at how Draymond acted during the Warriors championship parade, look at how Aaron Harris was arrested.
But you don't think, hold on, Isaac.
No, I'm not saying that, but you don't think some people perceive that as Tom Izzo's lack of influence?
Well, first off, I don't think that Draymond Green was too out of control at the parade. I think Draymond Green probably had one or two more sodas than he should have had, if you know what I mean. But I think he was just having fun, man. He won a championship. He blue-collar type of a guy. But I think that, and to argue that counterpoint, I think that Tom Izzo has built such a legacy here at Michigan State that two players doing something idiotic isn't going to ruin his reputation. He's had idiotic players in the past. I mean, just think about Chris Allen. He's a guy that comes to mind where, you know, and I forget his team at all. Goodness, his name eludes me. But they just couldn't stop smoking marijuana left and right. And and Tom Izzo's like, okay, if you can't itch this bug, you're gonna have to go somewhere else. And they transfer to what, Iowa State. You know what I mean? So he's had athletes for his program do idiotic things. And great coaches have players do idiotic things. That isn't gonna tarnish their legacy. Now, if it's happening blatantly every single year in your face, then yeah, okay, maybe so. But Tom Izzo doesn't have that type of a track record with his players.
I agree with that. I agree 100% with that statement. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, just in the minds of a few people, I can see them taking this and being like, maybe that happens more because of Tom Izzo. Like I said,
the haters.
Exactly.
The Michigan fans are going to eat this up. Yeah, I agree. I mean, cats in Ann Arbor are going to be like, oh, yeah, look at Tom Izzo, right? Tom Izzo's program right now. He's got two athletes that don't know how to handle themselves away from the court. Of course, they're going to – I mean, that's just the natural intake of the rivalry. But I think for the smart, educated, non-biased fan of college hoops or sports in general, they're not going to bash Tom Izzo for this.
No, I don't think so either. But I think another thing to take away from this is just – remember, like you said, these kids are in college. Mm. Now, maybe this is a cold splash of water in somebody's face, but underage kids drink in college. It happens
right. Fairly
frequently. So the fact that this is not a bad arrest, the DUI for me is much more worrisome than this. In my opinion, yeah, this kid was caught drinking underage, purchasing underage.
And how does that happen?
That.
How does that happen? What, do you have a fake ID or something?
He must have had a fake.
Okay, gotcha. Just trying to slide by, had a fake ID. Hey, I'll take those Smirnoffs. And then boom. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but DUI, that's dangerous. Drinking underage, not quite as dangerous. I don't put too much stock into this. First off, because Alvin Ellis has not been a significant part of Michigan State system. Last year, he only averaged 1.7 points per game.
Right, barely played.
As a junior. As a sophomore, rather, he doesn't look to figure in as a big part of this team. Mm-hmm. However, Aaron Harris is supposed to be big time. This kid's got pro aspirations. He's supposed to be maybe the starting shooting guard next year.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Harris, a DUI for him, which is much more dangerous, much more worrisome. That's what we still, in my opinion, can be talking about. Is Alvin Ellis not a big deal?
So I think the next question that comes now is, first off, what punishment should be handed down for these two individuals? I think that you will not see them start at all or not even maybe be in the house for the beginning season when they do hit the hardwood next year. You won't see them at all. I doubt they might even have, you know, when they have media day, we probably won't even get to speak to Aaron Harris or Alvin Ellis. I don't expect them to, maybe like a 5-game suspension. I could see that Tom Izzo doing that. He's got to lay down the hammer because this is now the second incident that has happened and it's got out to the press and now we're talking about it right here. This is where leadership comes into play though. This is where leadership comes into play because I tell you what, if I am a member of that Michigan State men's basketball program, if I'm like Denzel Valentine, who is known to be a leader on the squad for quite some time now, if I'm Matt Costello, if I'm Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr., if I'm anybody on that team as a teammate, you got to sit those two down and say, what in the world were you thinking? And I imagine that's what's going to happen. I'm pretty sure Denzel Valentine is going to have a long talk with those two individuals and hammer home the message, yo, you got to get your stuff together because we cannot have this, especially because this hurts them. This is going to hurt them. You talk about Aaron Harris. He's a guy. Aaron Harris is a guy that I legitimately think can come in and make an immediate impact, a tremendous immediate impact on this team next year. If he's not there, you know what? You're hurting the team. So I think that leadership, I mean, this is going to be a maturation process, not only for Aaron Harris and Alvin Ellis III, but for this team as a whole to deal with this whole thing.
Al, both you and I played high school basketball, and that's exactly right. Because you do have your slackers. I'm not saying either of these players are. But when something of that nature happens, your team leader calls them up, mm-hmm. texts them, gets together, says, listen, we cannot have that on this team. And that only is amplified and magnified by the fact that this is Michigan State University, a nationally coveted program mm-hmm. that receives all sorts of attention, and next year will be looking to compete for a national championship.
Right. So, I agree.
Exactly. I agree. Team leaders need to step in. Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, they're going to sit down and have a good talk with these two.
Folks, phone lines are open. If you want to call in and weigh in on anything that we discuss here on today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I'm just seeing here now, Isaac, LeBron James agrees that the details of that deal have now come out. He agrees to re-sign with the Cavs on a two-year, $46.97 million deal with that player option on the second year. So, yeah, he's getting paid, bottom line. Now, I found this story to be beyond intriguing because it seems as though every year the holiday comes around, every year July 4th pops off, we, you know, see an athlete or two injured due to firework accidents. And, you know, I say it every year, man, before, you know, that weekend hits, you know, I always sign off by saying, hey, be safe. If you're popping fireworks, be safe about it, okay? And I've never recalled, though, a year, Isaac, in which I've seen not one, but two athletes being involved with a fireworks injury, but both of them lose fingers. Jason Pierre-Paul had to have a finger amputated on Wednesday. And I saw that CJ Wilson as well lost two fingers. Not one, but two fingers. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. He said he lit the firework in the canister, and it didn't come out the canister. First off, you know what? Before we get to what they did, I want to get to what Adam Schefter did because he is taking a lot of flack. Adam Schefter, famed journalist, well-known journalist in the world of sports, who works for ESPN. And, you know, I was listening actually to an interview with Ed Werner of ESPN, who talked about how, man, he was trying to figure out what in the world was going on with Jason Pierre-Paul. He was working all of his sources, and he couldn't even get the information that Adam Schefter got. I mean, Adam Schefter, he's an unbelievable reporter, actually from U of M. He went to U of M out in Ann Arbor. But anyway, Adam Schefter, you know, he tweeted out a photo of the medical report of Jason Pierre-Paul. And, you know, it's a very detailed, you know, report, and you can see the photo, and you see everything there. And Adam Schefter right now is taking a lot of flack because a lot of people don't agree with him tweeting that photo out because it's personal information. Anytime you go to the doctor, your medical records are personal to you. You know, you don't want that information just floating out there. So I got to ask you, Isaac, if you're a journalist, right? You get this document that no one else has. No one else has this document, right? And, you know, it's sitting right in front of you, and you have the inside scoop as to what's going down with Jason Pierre-Paul. Do you tweet a photo of the medical report out, or don't you?
Al, I don't think he did anything wrong. And let me defend my point, because it's the hospital's job to keep that information private. It's not Adam Schefter's. It's not like he put a gun to their head and said, give me the information. No, he just acquired the information from the hospital. He probably just asked. So in that case, no, there's nothing wrong with that from what he did. Now, what the hospital did, that's terrible. Jason Pierre-Paul is actually suing the hospital, as he should, and he should win that case.
Yeah, oh, he is. I didn't see that he's suing the hospital. Okay, I didn't see that. But yeah, I agree with you, man. I think, you know, being a journalist, there's really two important questions that kind of go through my mind when a story approaches me like this. First off, the number one question that every journalist should ask themselves when they get some information of this nature is, one, is the information accurate? Obviously, it's accurate because it's a medical report. Two, am I protecting my sources? And looking at this situation where maybe, a hospital executive gave Adam Schefter this information without the knowledge of Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, tweeting that photo out, Adam Schefter could have just cost somebody their job. Point blank, period. Now, I understand. I'm right there with you, Isaac, because I tell you what, I probably would have tweeted the photo out as well. If I got an inside scoop like that, you know how competitive this world is. It's all about who gets information first. Is it accurate? Go with it. No matter how Adam Schefter got it, it's not on him. That hospital executive was at fault, because if they relayed that information out there without JPP's knowledge, then that's not right. And that hospital executive messed up. But, you know, if Adam Schefter gets that information from this hospital executive and you know that, okay, tweeting this information out will probably cost that individual their job, then I would probably take that in consideration as well. And it might make me think twice about it. But interesting stuff. I'm curious to know what people think about that story. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have a caller on line one. It's our good friend Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad, Al. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thanks a lot for calling, my man.
Hey, first of all, quickly answer the thing about Jason Pierre-Paul. The confidentiality issue only applies to the medical staff. It doesn't apply to some journalist.
Right,
and
exactly.
Any medical staff person who is dumb enough to give it to a journalist should know their butt's on the line. So,
right. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Because, yeah, I mean, as a journalist, if you get that information, I mean, it's fair game for what you can do with it. It's not your fault that the hospital executive gave it to you. So, yeah, I mean, their butt is on the line. But there's also that kind of argument, like I said, where, okay, as a journalist, do you really want to put your source out like that and possibly cost him or her job, you know, their job, excuse me? So there's that side of it as well. But, hey, if he tweets it out, hey, Adam Schefter really isn't at fault. I agree with you, Kurt.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to the thing with Aaron Harris and Alvin Ellis.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that bugs me about the whole thing, Al, is especially in Alvin Ellis's case, because he's been around for a little while, they just watched Kenny Kaminsky get kicked off the team last year for basically what was rumored to be the same kind of issues, too much partying and not enough paying attention kind of stuff. You know, when do these kids get it? I mean, and it's not just Kenny Kaminsky. I mean, in the past, the Spartans had a very good basketball team that was going to have Corey Lucius on it, Chris Allen, and those guys suddenly wind up having to transfer because of rumors of their own issues with alcohol or substances, as well as Darrell Summers and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, as a coach, Izzo can only do so much, I guess. I mean, you kick one kid off the team, you got other stuff. You know, at what point in time do the individuals finally figure it out that, hey, this is not helping anybody?
Right, right. I agree with you. And, you know, it happens far too often. It's one of those things where, you know, I think, you know, a lot of these kids who come into a program like here at Michigan State, they don't know how to handle themselves. They don't really know the extent and how bright really the light is once they come to a university like this. So I don't know. I think, again, as a coach, Tom Izzo can only do so much. He's not babying these kids. He's not around them 24/7. You know what I mean? So at the same time, you know, you look at it and you can't fault Tom Izzo. At the same time, I do think there should be programs implemented to really put in perspective to these kids just how important it is for them to conduct themselves in a legitimate manner when they are away from that gym. I agree with you, Kurt.
Now, the other thing I would say is there is definitely a double standard for athletes.
Right. Oh, yeah, certainly.
You know, because as Isaac said earlier, hey, they're students. They're 18 to 22-year-olds, and if you don't think they're out there having a good time, then you're wrong.
Exactly. We know what they're doing. Exactly. Plenty of time. I mean, yeah, right.
Because if Alvin Ellis was just some chemistry major that you know, brought money into the university because of his chemistry patents, but didn't bring it in because of his athletic ability, no one would give a rat's behind. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing. When you look at a student compared to a student athlete at a university like this, yes, athletes are held and are put in a certain light that the average student here does not get put upon. And, but they should understand that as well. That's the other argument. They should understand that as well, you would think.
Yeah. All right, thanks,
Al. Hey, Kirk, always a great call. Thanks a lot, my man. All right, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you will get a tiny snippet, a tiny sneak peek into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Tom Minkle, the MSU head wrestling coach who will be hanging up and calling it a career after this upcoming season. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. You know what, Isaac, this weekend, my man, is Common Ground. Common Ground Music Festival. I'm kind of excited about it because on Saturday, probably because I plan on playing some golf this weekend because we had Terry Kilday on the show yesterday. I think I may take him up on that offer to go and play some golf. I haven't been out all year. But later on in that evening, some of my favorite artists will be performing on Saturday. You got Wale, who's a hip-hop guy, all hip-hop here on Saturday. You got Tech N9ne, who's an underground hip-hop guy who's kind of gone mainstream now. And you got Snoop D-O-double-G, baby. Does he go by Snoop Dogg anymore? I think he goes by Snoop Lion now, doesn't he?
Snoop Lion it is, yeah. I told you this, I think, off air. I saw Snoop Lion or Snoop Dogg at the time back when I was a freshman in high school. It was a show.
He's getting kind of up there in age now. It's like, come on, brother. You may need to hang up that mic, right?
But yes, I think I was a little, maybe like 15 years too late for the show. But
right.
Still, gotta love Snoop. He brings the four-finger ring, the oversized jersey, and everything else.
There you go.
Also at Common Ground, though, if there are any hip-hop heads out there, one of my favorite rap artists, not sure if other people like him, Skizzy Mars, he was there Wednesday night, and I actually already saw him in Lansing, so I didn't go, but he's worth a checkout.
Skizzy Mars, I didn't know how big of a hip-hop head you were, Isaac, and we were actually talking last week, and you put me on like five different artists I had no idea even existed, so yeah, Isaac knows his stuff, all right? Again, folks, Current Sports TV airs tonight on WKAR-TV. Again, folks, if you tune in tonight, you're going to get to see footage from the Moneyball Summer Pro League. I got a chance to chat with Desmond Ferguson, as well as Bryn Forbes of the MSU Hoop Squad, and Matt Costello. They had a kind of a pretty cool moment when Isaac and I was there because Bryn Forbes had an opportunity to really seal the deal for the green versus purple game, and he's at the free throw line shooting free throws. He made all of his free throws in the clutch time, right? I mean, we all know how big of a bugaboo that was for the Michigan State men's basketball team last season, so that's encouraging stuff, right? But on the final free throw to really put the nail in the coffin, Matt Costello was talking a lot of trash in the ear of Bryn Forbes, and they had a pretty kind of a cool moment during the interview. So you get to see footage and highlights from the Moneyball basketball tournament tonight at 10 p.m., so you want to catch that. Also, Ariel Powers of the Michigan State women's basketball team, I'll talk about how she's just tearing it up right now for the U.S. of A. Talk briefly about the Aaron Harris incident, all of that and so much more as I sit down with Tom Minkle of the Michigan State wrestling team. Now, you know what? Speaking of Tom Minkle, during his tenure, Minkle has produced 38 All-Americans, 13 Big Ten champions, and two NCAA champions. Now, his direction has also led to team success as his squads have really placed in the top 25 at the NCAA championships, get this, 13 times. Pretty impressive stuff. Now, Minkle was head coach for the U.S. team at the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain. Isaac, can you tell me what was the big thing about that 92 Olympics? I think you already know, right?
Yeah, Al, it's the matchup we've all been wanting to see. 1992 gold U.S. men's basketball team.
Exactly, otherwise known as the Dream Team. So Tom Minkle was the head coach for the USA team, the wrestling team, at the 92 Olympics. That's pretty cool stuff, where he led Team USA to a bronze medal, the highest finish ever by a U.S. team in Greco-Roman competition. Now, overall, Minkle's travel has taken him to more than 40 countries and have cemented his reputation as one of the top coaches in the sport. Here's just a sneak peek into the 12-man portion of tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Tom Minkle as he starts off by talking about who his top toughest athletes, who they are out of his entire coaching tenure.
Well, I guess Franklin Gomez, NCAA champion in 2009. Mm-hmm. And actually, he's wrestling in the world championships representing his home country of Puerto Rico second week in September.
Really?
So he'll be in Vegas, world championships. And Franklin finished second in the world championships. He wrestled in the last Olympic Games. And he's just one tough customer. So Franklin Gomez, maybe one of the toughest wrestlers I've ever coached.
Keep a lookout, folks. Great question. All right, Teddy from Gold Lake wants to know, do you have favorite hole cards? I have no idea what that means, so I'm going to read it. Do you have favorite hole cards in Texas Hold'em other than the obvious ace-ace or king-king?
Well, the suited connectors, like 9-10 of spades or, 10-jack. I would say maybe 10-jack of spades because a lot of times you can slip in and beat a big pair, or get a flush. You have a better chance for a straight flush, but...
Right.
But probably 10-jack of spades would be my favorite hand outside of the obvious aces or kings.
I really hope our viewers right now out there have a pen and a pad out, okay, are taking these tips down. Yeah. That unbelievable stuff. I don't even know what a whole card means, okay? All right, Donnie from Detroit, tell us about the macaw.
Well, it was I spent a lot of my childhood in South America, mm-hmm. Parrots are a big part of the culture in Latin America and South America.
Right.
And so I've always kind of been interested in birds and parrots in particular. And then my wife and I had a number of small birds, but I saw an ad actually in the State Journal for a hyacinth macaw. It was a baby bird. And so, I looked at my wife and I said, maybe we should go see this bird. It was over in Fenton.
Right.
So we went over to this breeding facility in Fenton, and there was this little bird. It was like that big. We 8 days old. You could cover it up.
Oh my goodness!
And we went back like 2 weeks later, and then two more weeks later, and then finally we had been saving for a new car,
mm-hmm.
And I said, well, and they're enormously expensive, but basically I said, maybe we ought to get this macaw instead of the new car, and it took a while. She wasn't really keen on the idea.
Yeah.
But I talked her into it. In a moment of weakness, we went over and we bought this hyacinth macaw, and we've had her now for 18 years. Comes to work every day with me, and.
Wow.
In fact, she's in my office as we speak.
There we go. And the next time we have you on, Tom, I'm telling you, you got to bring her. And I may just do the full interview segment with just her. Okay, how's that sound?
Absolutely. She would love it.
On behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we want to wish you all the luck in the world, your final year. And we got to have you on after you retire. How about that? How's that sound, Tom?
That would be awesome. Just a pleasure to be here.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, that's just a sneak peek. I told you, just a really, 3 minute long peek into tonight's Current Sports TV sit down with Tom Minkle, the Michigan State head wrestling coach. And I tell you what, Isaac, man, I didn't know. I tell you what, let's say Tom Minkle, when he becomes a professional poker player and, is in the championship, playing on the World Series of Poker or in ESPN, he is a feature story waiting to be done. I didn't even know. I was sitting there and he brought his family. He brought his lovely wife. He also had his daughter there, as well as her son. They were all in the house to enjoy the show yesterday. And I'm sitting off the air when we get done taping, the cameras go off. And I didn't know that Tom Minkle was also, he also plays the guitar and he sings. Him and his wife actually were a part of a band that used to be a house band on a cruise ship for many, many years. So the guy sings. He plays the guitar. He's got a parrot that talks.
A macaw.
He's got a macaw, for goodness sake. And he actually showed me a video on the macaw as well. And the macaw can say hello, goodbye, say a bunch of words. I told Tom that when we do have him on next time, he's got to bring the macaw in. And I'm going to do the interview with the macaw. And the macaw has to come back learning how to say Current Sports, okay? But really cool stuff. So he's got a macaw. He's a poker player. He's been kicked out of casinos for counting cards at blackjack. I mean, my goodness. I mean, he has so many stories. One of the most, that commercial, Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world. Tom Minkle, they need to hire that brother because he is the most interesting man in the world. He's unbelievable.
He is. Oh, I mean, add to that resume list, world champion, USA wrestler with the coaching, 1992, the most illustrious year in U.S. Olympic history.
Exactly.
Recent history, at least.
Right.
And then just the nicest guy you can meet, too. We had a great chat with his family and himself after. And
exactly.
They couldn't have been friendlier. His wife is a resume fixer-upper.
Exactly. If you need help with she was kind of giving you, the whole spiel that when you graduate and try to look for a job, Isaac, she's got you, when it comes to your resume, helping you with your resume. Very cool stuff, though, right? I mean, they were a great family. It was a great time having them in the house. And, Tom Minkle, I tell you what, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the president in the next, 3 years, okay? Unbelievable stuff. So, again, you want to catch it tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. All right, quick thoughts on this one, Isaac, before we dive into Throwback Thursday after our second break. DeAndre Jordan, interesting story here. DeAndre Jordan, after verbally agreeing to a 4-year max deal with the Dallas Mavericks last week, has made an about-face, re-signing with the LA Clippers in a deal ESPN sources say was completed Thursday morning. This morning, a little after midnight, at his home in Houston. Now, the contract with the Clippers is also a 4-year max deal that will be worth an estimated $88 million. So they're giving him $8 million than the Mavericks would have given him. That's what sources told ESPN. Now, Jordan can opt out after 3 years. The Clippers quickly trumped it the deal in a tweet saying, home is where your heart is. And then it's a picture of DeAndre Jordan saying, we're officially centered. How about that? I've never seen a story where, first off, it's reported that a player is going to sign a deal somewhere else, right? The logistics of the deal are out there, and it's almost final. Then all of a sudden, the Clippers say, hold on. Or the other team says, hold on. Let's rebuttal this. They actually go to DeAndre Jordan's home, where it said that a few of his teammates were there, and they convince him to change his mind and re-sign with the squad. I can't think of a story like this. It's odd. It's odd for me. It's different.
Al, we're going to have to try our best, call up some necromancer or something, try to revive Homer from the dead, because this is the Odyssey part two. This is so odd.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never heard a story like this. No misreporting of facts for the most part. Last night, Mark Cuban, Chris Broussard got into it a little bit.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
I don't even know whose side to take there.
Right.
So there's so much to this. Also, an emoji war on Twitter.
An emoji war? That's a thing?
Basically, players were just tweeting out how far they'd go to keep DeAndre Jordan. So Parsons tweeted out like a car and a plane. And then Blake Griffin added a helicopter to that. And then Paul Pierce. This is my favorite part. Paul Pierce, the newest member of the Clippers.
Right.
Doesn't know how to use emojis. So he searched up a picture of a rocket emoji and then tweeted that picture. He didn't tweet the emoji. He tweeted the picture. So Paul Pierce, if you're listening, I'll teach you. Come to Mid-Michigan, baby. I'll teach you.
Well, first, if Paul Pierce is listening, that just made my day, if that's true. But, man, that's hilarious stuff. I need to go back and look at that. But, yeah, I've never seen a story like that. And it kind of shows that, what we see – throughout the games and on the sidelines as fans and just as spectators of the game don't really tell the whole story. We're not with these guys when they're in the locker room. We're not with these guys when they're hanging out. We don't know how close their bond is. Because, we said this yesterday. Looking at, the relationship DeAndre Jordan had with the Clippers, from an outsider's view, just looking at the games, it looked like at times DeAndre would get into it with his teammates, especially him and Chris Paul. But, again, we just don't know that type of a connection because we're not that close to the team. We're not even reporters for the LA Clippers. So we don't understand that connection at all. So, for them to offer this deal and rebuttal this deal and say, hey, DJ, we want you here and we want you back in the LA Clippers jersey, that speaks volumes as to the type of connection that DJ has with this squad. And I'm looking forward to seeing you know, what they do in the coming years. Now, there's another side to this because, hey, DeAndre Jordan seemingly gave his word to the Dallas Mavericks, right? It was being reported that he said, hey, I'm going to sign with the Dallas Mavericks. I do think it makes him look bad because he really went back on his word. You know what I mean? He said he was going to sign with the Dallas Mavericks, and all of a sudden, you know, his teammates come over, boom, he's signing with the Clippers now. He kind of went wishy-washy with it. And I do think in that regard, you know, you always say your word is bond. All you got in this world is your word. And it does make him look bad from that standpoint.
Oh, it makes him look horrible. Because the thing is, I was reading an article today. This alters the course of the whole offseason. Robin Lopez to New York. Costa Kufis to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Those might not have happened had he just re-signed with the Clippers to start. The Mavericks now are without a center. They've got a paltry supply of decent players. They're out of the playoffs, and that's because they invested so much time and money into DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
Now, as a Pelicans fan, I'm happy. One less team we have to compete with.
There you go.
But looking at it from the Mavericks' standpoint, this is infuriating. How, and again, we talked about this on the show so many times before, just a lack of commitment. When you commit, word is bond. You give your word, you go to that team. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan, this is even more serious because all the good free agents are off the board. Dallas is out of the playoffs. The Clippers are great. But Dallas was totally messed over by this, and DeAndre Jordan should be ashamed.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that because, again, you know, when you give your word, you got to commit. And that's something that he did not do when you talk about that deal with the Dallas Mavericks. Now, and I looked at an article recently that Mark Cuban, he tried to get in touch and reach out to DeAndre Jordan yesterday and couldn't even reach him. Couldn't even reach him at all. So,
lack of respect.
Yeah, lack of respect. It does make him look bad. So, hey, that's the game. No, it's a business, baby. So we'll see, what transpires in the, next year in the NBA. There's so many moves being made, though. So many deals happening. I'm struggling trying to keep up with all the moves that are being made during this free agency period in the NBA. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Thursday edition of Current Sports. Bye, folks. Bringing you Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. What's up, beautiful people? Well, we have just about 5 minutes left in the show. It is time for Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this particular date in sports history. Well, today is July 9th. Let's take a look at what happened.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there.
That's right. It is time for Throwback Thursday. So what exactly happened on this Thursday in sports history? Well, today is July 9th. In 1968, the first all-star baseball game to be played indoors took place at the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. How about that? Do you like baseball being indoors, Isaac? It kind of takes away from the overall feel to me.
Takes away from the total feel. I hate it. I actually went to the new Astrodome. Can't say I'm a fan. Baseball should be outdoors in the sun, or if it's raining, in the rain.
Yeah, there you go, right? Exactly. Yeah, deal with the rain delays, people. I would rather deal with the rain delays than have baseball indoors. I agree. All right, 1985. Joe Namath, signed a 5-year pact with ABC TV to provide commentary for Monday Night Football. In 1997, Iron Mike Tyson was banned from the boxing ring and fined $3 million for biting the ear, of opponent Evander Holyfield. Isaac, do you remember that one? How old were you when that took place?
Al, I can't even.
You can't even remember that.
I might have been too young to actually have that consciousness.
Right. Because what? How old are you right now, Isaac? You're like what? Like 20?
I'm 19.
You're 19 years old. I'm 24, going on 25, and I remember I had to be like, oh goodness, let's see, 19. I was 7 years old, and I remember when that incident took place. And my dad ordered the fight, and everybody's over. And I remember the house in chaos. The house is in chaos when it happened. Everybody was running around, yelling like, he bit his ear. And they showed the replay. Oh, that's one of those moments in sports that you just have to pinch yourself because you don't think that you're seeing it. All right? Yeah, that happened in 1997, though, on this date. All right, in 2000, Pete Sampras of the United States set a record when he won the Men's Singles Tennis Championship at Wimbledon. It was his 13th Grand Slam title. And speaking of Wimbledon, I actually have to give a shout-out to Serena Williams, who just beat Maria Sharapova to move on at the in the Wimbledon Championship Series. So how about Serena? She just keeps on keeping on. She's unbelievable. All right, and in 2002, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game ended in a 7-7 tie after 11 innings. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig called the game after both team managers informed him they had run out of players. Wow. Talk about awkward, right? That happened in 2002. I also want to shout out a few birthdays here. Orthential James. Yeah, O.J. Simpson. It's his birthday. He was born on this day in 1947. Bobby Frankel, 1941. He's a trainer. Red Kelly was born on this day in 1927. He's an NHL player. So happy birthday, especially happy birthday to O.J. Simpson, man. One of the most revered names in sports and pop culture history. So there you have that. That's Throwback Thursday, folks. If I happen to miss one, hey, you can leave it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And I'm looking here. I did forget just one. You guys know I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan. And on this day, back in actually 2009, the Detroit Pistons named John Kuster as head coach. We all know that, John did not last long as the Pistons head coach. And I just got word this morning, folks, speaking of Current Sports TV, I'm excited to announce that linebacker for the Michigan State football team, Darian Harris. That's right, Darian Harris will be my guest for next week's show. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, again, during the spring and summer months, we have moved our production time from each and every Wednesday at 6 p.m. to each and every Wednesday at 3 p.m. If you want to be a part of next week's show, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. It's just a matter of just showing up and me seeing your smiling face. All right, well, that wraps up today's show. Tomorrow, we invite DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and also former producer of Inspirational Moments, Motivational Moments here on Current Sports. He'll join me on the show, as well as Michigan State basketball great Mateen Cleaves. Mateen Cleaves will join me at the top of the hour on tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss it. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.